Welcome back to the Hope for Your Marriage series. I'm Marty Pieper, and I am just thrilled today to introduce my guests, Jeff and Sarah Walton. They're the authors of, the best word I've come up with is an intriguing new book, Together Through the Storms. Thank you so much for being with me today, Jeff and Sarah. I want to welcome you.
Thank you so much for having us, Marty.
Yeah, thank you.
We are enjoying the wonders of technology where I was talking before we started the recording that it's just a blessing that we get to connect with, I get to connect with authors and speakers and writers from all over, and then they get to connect with you listeners. So I'm really looking forward to speaking with them today. And I found out right when I opened up their book that we have mutual friends in Robert and Nancy Walgamuth. They wrote the foreword to the Waltons book. And probably a month ago, less than a month ago, I had the privilege of interviewing the Walgamuths on Hope for Your Marriage. So that's another, shameless promo? That's a shameless plug there for another podcast. But
yes.
The same heart for the Lord and for the gospel that I see in their book, I also see in yours. And so I just want to commend you for that, first of all.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Now, I'm looking at the book, and the cover is, it's a beautiful blue turquoisey color, but it also has dark elements in it, and that's really is what your marriage, what your life together has been, isn't it? Would one, maybe both of you, want to speak to that? How did you come to write a book called Together Through the Storms?
Yeah, well, we have had our fair share of storms together, to say the least, and I don't think either of us would have ever imagined that we would have written a book at all, let alone one titled Together Through the Storms.
Yes,
and on marriage.
It wasn't on your goal list.
No, it was not. It was not. And as we were talking earlier, before we were recording, we were saying nobody really expects these things. You kind of expect things to go as you plan. You expect marriage to be mostly, you don't expect to be perfect, but mostly the way you're envisioning it to be. For us, we really had some difficulties in our first couple of years, just with Jeff really trying to get a job. That was a very long process. But for the most part, those were kind of our smooth sailing years in comparison. And then we had our first child, our third year into marriage, and we had a really big scare with him at 7 weeks old, where he ended up being hospitalized with an unknown infection, and we didn't know what the outcome was going to be. It was very concerning. For about 5 days, they were giving us scarier and scarier options of what might be going on, and we thought we could lose him. It was that scary, and we ended up leaving the hospital really with no answers. For some reason, it turned around, and the medicines they were giving him worked, but we left with this kind of open-ended, what was that? And why could they never figure out what happened?
And could it happen again?
Yeah. And was there any effects of that? And so we honestly, to this day, don't really know the impact or the connection of that scary event in his life. But as months progressed, we started seeing more, I don't know how to describe it. At the beginning, it was more just strange behaviors, difficult behaviors. And he was our first, so we didn't really know what to compare it to. And so we just thought he was a strong-willed kid. But as he got older, things got much more extreme and much more difficult. And so our years, a big part of our marriage has consisted of a version of special needs that has been very, very complex. It is not visible from the outside, which is another element of the difficulty of it, because it's lonely. But he has struggled immensely since he's been little with neurological challenges that have exhibited in outbursts and rages and aggression and all sorts of different anxieties and depression. And things that you just, you're not, you don't get a playbook for as a parent for a 4 or 5 year old kid.
Of course
that
not.
You're handed these very, very heavy things that, you don't get a playbook for parenting in general. And then you don't really have a lot of people that even relate to this type of thing. So we were very lonely. We went through some very, very dark days with some really scary experiences. We had lots of doctors trying to help, but really couldn't find answers. And so that's a very long story made very short, and we are still in that journey. It's looked different as the years have gone by. We've had some help with certain medications, but it is certainly still a daily struggle for him and for us. So that's been a real storm for our marriage, not only for our whole family, but it's put a lot of stress in our home on a daily basis. And so for a marriage, even if you're not fighting against each other, you're both bearing that weight of stress a lot, and that impacts in different ways. And then we kind of had a lot of layers, a lot of bigger and smaller storms mixed in with, I have chronic health that issues that ended up being Lyme disease. I apparently passed that Lyme disease onto all 4 of our kids, so they all have various health issues. And for 9 years of our marriage, Jeff had been on call, which was just added difficulty because he was in and out of the house 24/7 and I couldn't count on him. And so health issues and the special needs situation and everything else was enough to crush us in itself. And it just seemed like the Lord kept allowing storm after storm. We lost financially a lot of money through various means. And we really just kind of kept going through these storms without answers, which I think the longevity is what is another kind of layer to it, because your endurance starts to feel like, I don't know that we can keep going on like this. And then I also ended up having a degenerative ankle that I have slowly lost my ability to use. So that's a very brief kind of big overview snapshot, missing a lot of points, but that is kind of a picture of the storms we've gone through. Jeff, do you want to add anything?
Yeah. And so while there's a lot of things that we fill in throughout our book, and we may get into a couple more throughout our conversation today, but kind of getting back to your initial question of, you know, writing a book and with all the storms and everything that we've gone through, you know, we really wanted to put out there a resource because we've read a lot of marriage books, and there's a lot of great help that we can and wisdom that we can glean from those. But I think what really we were longing for and want to with Together Through the Storms to put out there is a book that can meet someone in their current situation. We're not retrospectively looking back as empty nesters and trying to then give that wisdom at that point. So we are walking alongside, and we're still in the trenches. We're still in really, really hard days.
Yeah.
And so for someone that is just coming out of a trial, or whether they're in a tough season right now, or whether it's preparing you for a tough day ahead that we just can't see, that's really what we want this resource to be, of taking our eyes, trying to lift them up off of our situations, our circumstances, and even off of our spouse, and finding our hope in Jesus Christ, you know, the only one that can have shoulders broad enough to carry all of our questions and all of our just pain and grief and whatever we may have lost, or whatever is really at its core trying to just change us.
Test our marriages and our relationships with the Lord.
And so that's a lot of what we're hoping. Again, we chose as the foundation of our book, which I think, to our knowledge, is the first marriage book that's written on walking through the story of Job. And so we want that to not be anything that people are afraid of, because what you know from Job, unless you've really studied it, you just see, boy, he lost everything and his life looked very miserable. And for much of the book, there's no hope. But yet when we dig into that, there is so much to glean. Granted, there's only just a couple of verses about his wife, and it's not much on marriage. But what we really draw out is different things about Job and the man of God he was, and then his relationships with his friends, and his relationship even with his wife. And so, and then ultimately his relationship with God. And what does that look like as he's wrestling through just the questions that we all updates of why, God, how long is this going to last? This does not make sense. You know, even right now as we're in the middle of a pandemic and people are facing loss or loss of a job or income or changes to just their lifestyles, and the normal is now gone. And so,
right, we're all in a storm right now.
Yeah. All those questions we can take to God, and that's what we hope to really glean from.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you bringing up about Job, because it was very interesting to me to not see just the same kind of pat things you've almost come to expect about Job, but the way you really mm-hmm. did dig in. And I think in that way, and the fact that you're still in the trenches meant a lot to me, because it's one mm-hmm. thing for someone to either never have gone through it or to be well on the other side of it. And
yeah.
I don't know, that spoke to me a lot.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that, because I am an empty nester, but, and my listeners know this because we've spoken about it before, I'm in the midst of a storm that I may be in for a while in terms of caring for my
yeah.
husband with early onset dementia. So those storms, we don't anticipate them, but
right.
We can certainly prepare our hearts
yes.
to face
yeah.
whatever it may be. And Sarah, I wanted to say to you, I have a dear friend who has Lyme disease, and
mm-hmm.
she has no children. They've never been able to have children because she's just basically been so ill for most of their marriage.
Mm.
But
so hard.
Just knowing what Holly has gone through, I can't imagine how hard it must be to face all these other things. So I know
yeah.
the Lord has greatly strengthened you, because that
he has.
And even the I don't know the right way to say it, and this isn't a book about Lyme disease, but the lack of understanding and acceptance, or whatever you might call
mm-hmm.
it, from the medical community is a whole
yep.
separate issue with that. So
yes, it is. I could probably write a whole book on that too.
I imagine you could.
Area.
Well, that's a free tip. So if you want to, you know, that's what the Lord leads you to write for your next book.
Yeah.
But now, getting back to Job, this is just me being curious. Were you guys already studying Job? Because it seems like when I go through trials, that's the first thing people bring up. Oh, I'm going to call you Job. But were you already studying Job, or did you go back through it with the intent of doing this book?
Yeah, I would say kind of both. We hadn't been specifically studying Job, like we weren't going through any specific study and deeply going through it, but we both had individually, I think, been drawn there so many times over the years. And
mm-hmm.
because we really were wrestling with really deep kind of theological questions of suffering, Job is really one of the best books to go to, because it challenges so much of our views of suffering, our natural views of suffering, and the world's view of suffering. So I think we had been in Job quite a bit ourselves. And then as we started praying about this, we had been asked if we would be interested in writing it. And we were really prayerful about it, just wanting to be careful we didn't add to our marriage what we couldn't sustain. knowing
mm-hmm.
that adds another pressure. We
yes,
had been
sure.
really working through the topics that we wanted, and we hadn't settled for sure on the book that we wanted to ground it in, but we had so much that we were coming back to in Job that we started talking about how that would look to take the top. And the Lord started opening our eyes to how many things in Job that we've gleaned from connected to the marital situations we wanted to address, that it almost became exciting just to watch what God was going to do with it. Because I don't think it evolved a little bit as we wrote. Some of the things changed. We noticed new verses that really grasped different issues that we hadn't seen
mm-hmm.
at the very beginning. And so it was almost like the Lord was teaching us along the way as we wrote at the same time. So it was very
That's
fresh
cool.
because it was also being applied to our lives right then.
Yeah, it's a very unique book. You know, I think, to Sarah's point, we weren't studying like the entirety of Job. And there might be certain chapters that we have gone to and certainly dug into, but this was kind of the first time of looking at it from start to finish and going through that. And that's what is really unique, because you have the first two chapters of setting up this whole dynamic between the, you know, God and Satan, and then Job. And Job is left out of that conversation between Satan and
right.
God. But that whole triangle, and now seeing after the first two chapters, everything hits him and all of the loss has taken place in just what seems like a matter of seconds. And then for the next, you know, 30 some chapters, Job is just sitting in his pain and in his grief and trying to figure out, who is this God that I have said that I've placed my faith in, that I believe? And we see just a unique wrestling with both him and his relationships with his closest friends. And then we see isolation from he and his wife. And then we also just see wrestling directly with Christ. And so then you bookend that whole book with the remaining last couple of chapters, where by God's grace, we do see some amazing redemption that just bookends the whole entirety of Job really well. And there's so much that we can glean and take away from that.
Yeah, like I said, it really looked at Job, helped me look at Job. And I've read other books, commentaries and things like that that deal with Job, but it really helped me look at it in a more, I guess you would say, personal way, but yet a deeper way in terms of the scripture itself. So
yeah, that's
wonderful.
It's encouraging to hear.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you. There's a section, I guess a chapter, on grief in your book. And just I belong to a Facebook group for spouses with a particular type of dementia that my husband has, because it happens to be a rare type. And just the other day, a friend of mine who's a Christian, it's not just a Christian group, although it's easy to tell the Christians from the ones who don't have faith most of the time, but a Christian friend of mine posted something about grief on that page, and she said, I think this is what we're all going through. So your chapter talking about grief really spoke to me too, because there are so many elements of grief when you endure a storm. One of the things you touched on was how you might grieve differently. And one of you share, or even both of you share, why is it important to understand the other person's grief and way of grieving?
I think that is such an important thing to acknowledge when you're, I think you can really relate that in multiple relationships, but I think it's so important in the marriage context, because you are the closest with that person. And most often you're experiencing the most similar grief. But the difference is we are completely made up differently. So we may be facing the exact same trial or the exact same loss, but we are most likely going to process it differently, express it differently. We may take different seasons that it will look different for each of us, where sometimes I've seen even in other relationships, some friends we know, where one spouse will be completely broken by what the loss they've experienced, and the other spouse may feel like they need to kind of hold it together for that season. Well, from the outside, that may look like one is deeply hurting and the other is not feeling as affected, where that is most likely not the case. But then maybe when that one spouse kind of starts to get their feet underneath them, their husband or wife may all of a sudden feel overwhelmed with grief because they're suddenly letting themselves feel it. So there's all different kinds of contexts that this can be looked at, and it's so important in our own relationships, because the danger is we can look at our spouse who may be grieving something differently or just navigating their own path of grief in a completely different way than us. And what that does is it lends itself to a lot of misunderstanding of each other or assumptions of each other, which can lead to feeling disconnected. It can lead to even a sense of like bitterness that your spouse may not be feeling it the way you think you are feeling it. And it's been really good for me to recognize, because I will maybe need to process my grief out loud. I will need to talk it out a lot of times tears will come with it. Whereas Jeff mm-hmm. could maybe look kind of more stoic and like he's maybe not as affected by it, where that is usually not the case. He's just, he's handling it differently. Maybe he's trying to pour himself into something. Maybe at the time he's trying to just distract himself because it feels too hard to bear. So mm-hmm. from the outside, that may look like he doesn't care, but he does. He's just processing it differently. And the other thing that's so important is that grief changes us. So I may feel that change in myself, but I have to remember that change is also happening in my spouse. And so I love the picture, how we often say when someone faces a loss, they lose somewhat of the sense of a limb. So they kind of are, they may heal to some extent, but they will always feel that loss of the limb. So the same thing is true for our spouse. And we need to remember that as well. We can't expect them to be the same person they always were, because they too will be different and impacted probably forever to some extent by that loss and that grief. And so it's just helpful to remember that. It helps us extend grace to each other. And it helps us realize that we have permission to grieve. And that doesn't mean we aren't worshiping the Lord at the same time. We can worship him in our grief. And I think it's helpful to remind each other that that's okay to do that.
Yeah, we even see that between Job and his wife. So Job's response was to, he actually fell down and worshiped and shaved his head.
Just a sign of lamenting and grieving at that time.
Tore his robe. And so then on the flip side, his wife was coming to Job and almost encouraging him to curse God, because she was grieving totally different than Job was. And so I think another important aspect of this is seeing that we need to take our grief directly to Christ. And so as we see Job kind of unfold throughout the majority of the book, his questioning and his what we call as lamenting, I think that's one of the most key takeaways, at least for me personally, is to really understand and kind of formulate my theology around suffering and what biblical lamenting truly means. And in essence, it's just talking to God. It's taking your pain, your confusion, again, directly to Christ, and not letting it just stay there where we can just spew all of our anger and our feelings on him, but let that lead us back to trusting and remembering the character of God and his promises. And so that process of lamenting is not something that's just a one time and done. It's a continual coming back and bringing the why questions and how long, and this makes no sense, Lord. So why do you continue to let us struggle and we can't see any change in our path? But then remembering God's past faithfulness in your life and remembering that he is mighty, that he is sovereign over both what has happened and what has not happened. And so when we can start clinging to those promises and seeing Christ, we start to give ourselves the correct path of taking our pain and confusion and letting that start to formulate into worship and drawing our hearts back to where Christ wants us to, and being fully dependent on him. It's a beautiful picture of trying to humble ourselves, and really it needs to first start with taking it to Christ, and it's nothing elaborate, it's nothing big, it's just, again, that simple verbalizing that, God, I need you, this makes no sense, and I need you to help draw my heart back to you.
And that's just so important to remember, that our spouse is not the one that can bear the weight of our grief. That's why we have to make sure we're going to the Lord first. So it's really both of what we said combined, that we need to be open with our spouse about how we're grieving, but we need to make sure we're first taking the weight of our grief to the Lord, who's the only one that can bear that.
I know for our marriage, one of the first huge losses in our family's life taught me that I was looking too much to my husband and not looking to Christ. When he was just as sunk or more sunk than I was and couldn't in any way bear my weight. God used
right.
that to teach me exactly what you're talking about. I love what you said, Jeff, about that lamenting is, we want to make everything one and done, at least in our culture, don't we? Like
yeah.
even
yeah.
sort of like fast Christianity. Well, if I, and we somehow we get that in our head that if we just do A, B, and C, then we'll come
mm-hmm.
out on the other side. And this is not, life isn't bad, marriage isn't bad, and your book isn't that. But
right.
something else
right.
I wanted to point out, which I thought was so wise, I'm not trying to sound like Mrs. Fangirl here, but I, when I'm going through stuff, I can't, I am a big reader. I love to read. I get, now I'm thrilled because I actually get paid to read books and talk to people about them. That's really cool. But
yeah.
I can't always process a lot at one time. I know when
yeah.
I had young children, when I was deeply grieving, when I am going through what I'm going through right now, I loved it that this book, I can read a little bit or I can read a lot and I can still
mm-hmm.
get things out of it. The chapter is not, I guess you would say each chapter is pretty well self-contained, even though it makes
yeah.
sense and it all hangs together. So
yeah.
thank you for making it like that. I just think that.
Yeah.
super wise. Those were the kind
Good.
Of books I gravitated toward when I'm in trouble, where I may not just be able to process too much at one time. And so,
yeah, well,
and there's a
that,
lot in each chapter.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you picked up on that. And that was our hope. You know, we have 25 different chapters and we cover a very wide array of different levels of suffering or different topics. And so we wanted to keep
mm-hmm.
the chapters concise and short where, because when you're in a season of suffering, it's hard to pick up a book that you have these long 20-page
yeah.
chapters. And so we wanted to keep it short. And then at the end, we have some reflection questions that, whether it's ones that you go through on your own or if your spouse is willing, and then a section of prayer that can really hopefully lead you in a time of bringing your questions and just a time of worship back to the Lord, and then also some further
exactly.
Verses about connecting those points just to other parts of Scripture, and then lastly, just a section to journal. So hopefully, as you had mentioned, you don't have to go sequentially necessarily throughout the whole book. You can jump around by topic and really
mm-hmm.
just where you may feel is the best fit to walk through this, whether it's individually or even with a small group.
Exactly. Yeah, that I think it's very versatile. And I do love the journaling element, too. So there's, because a part of this, I think, is going to be your reflection, because
mm-hmm.
my experience isn't your experience, and what God is
exactly.
speaking to me now so is going to be different
right.
than at another time. So thank
yeah.
you for including that. Listeners, we value your time, so we're going to break this interview into two parts. Watch for part two of the Hope for Your Marriage series, with guests Jeff and Sarah Walton, coming soon on Charisma News.